The views expressed.
All right, we are going through all the our beginning commercials and intros. We'll be on in about a minute and a half.
Sounds good.
Okay, we've got 1 minute.
Okay.
Don't worry, I'm only kind of stuffy the first part of the show. That's only because I've got like 12 different people barking commands at me here.
Oh, that's okay. Believe me, I
once we get started, we're on our own, but... All right, mics are going hot in 3, 2, 1.
But sometimes the will of the living and the deceased is so strong that it breaks through the barriers that divides the two realities. The voices of the departed are heard once again. We call this Ghost Chatter. Ghost Chatter. Now your host, Jimmy Morris.
Hello, everyone, and thank you for tuning in to yet another episode of Ghost Chatter here on the Para-X Radio Network. I'd like to take a moment to remind everyone who isn't tuning in via the internet today to try and make their way over to our interactive chat room and website. If you can make it over to www.para-x.com, once you're there, you can click on the live chat button that will bring you into our interactive chat room. In here, you can react. You can interact with all of us here on the show. You can send us messages, send our guest messages, and you can do that with any live show that is playing during the evening or daytime hours here on Para-X Radio. Also, want to thank everyone who is tuning in today on the air and via the chat room. It's always great to see a bunch of people inside the chat room because. There, we always know we can get direct feedback, but, you know, we appreciate everyone who is listening anywhere. Tonight's guest comes to us from the great state of New York. She is the author of a book called Spiritual Protection. She is an occultist, diviner, and also a magician with over 20 years of experience invested in these fields. So let's get her out here on the show today. So let's welcome Sophie Reiser. Welcome to the show, Sophie.
Thank you. I'm glad to be here tonight.
Well, we're very glad to have you here, and I've been looking forward to talking to you here on the show here for about 2 months now, I think, is when we finally was able to get you locked down. I went back and forth with your, I think she's your publicist there for a little while.
Yes.
Jennifer, I believe, a great, great lady. She was finally able to... She was finally able to get us hooked up and connected here, and we're glad to have you.
Excellent. I'm very glad to be here. I was really happy to get her request.
Before we really get hot and heavy into everything here tonight on Ghost Chatter, I want to give you an opportunity to tell everyone a little bit about yourself and you know what it is that you do.
Well, I am an occultist and a practicing magician, as you have said. And I'm fairly eclectic. I mean, basically, if it works, I'll use it. I spend a great deal of my time teaching the basics of spiritual protection, your grounding, your centering, ways to shield and ward and cleanse, and all the fundamentals that sometimes are being neglected nowadays.
Exactly. And these are things that are very interesting, and that's why I was timing your show the way I did. I just finished up a four-episode series that I was doing on basically Paranormal 101, where, and that's because, you know, over the years of doing the show, we're into our third year now of Ghost Chatter. You know, we kind of get ahead of ourselves sometimes and don't realize that there are a bunch of new people that are coming into the field. So all of a sudden, we're talking about things, you know, 3 and 4 years advanced from where it is where we started, and doesn't realize that a lot of the things that we talk about, some people don't even know that are tuning in. They're like, you know, they're lost. So
what's worse, I'm finding that people aren't just lost, or they may not have heard of these fundamentals. Oftentimes, I'm encountering people who have been told that they're not important.
Exactly.
And that's what truly disturbs me, and that's one of the things that moves me to write the book.
Exactly, and that happens in so many different things in these fields. As a paranormal investigator myself, I have seen it countless times where things that are very, very important fundamentals, you know, it's, I really don't want to say they get swept under the rug, because
but they do.
I think it's more of it was never there in the first place.
Mm-hmm.
You know, a lot of times, you know, people are, a lot of these new groups and stuff that investigate out there, you know, they're going off of what they see on TV and stuff, and they're not getting, you know, no fundamentals about anything, just exactly the way they see it. And then
they're making messes that the rest of us have to clean up, and possibly getting themselves psychologically and emotionally, and maybe physically hurt in the process.
Exactly. Now, before we get into some details on your book, there was a few things, you know, that we had, I had mentioned, you know, some of the things you do, you know, as far as an occultist. For anyone who may not be familiar, how would you describe that term?
Wow. That's hard.
I
want to
put you on the spot there, but...
Well, I use the term occultist because so much of my work has involved exploring elements of magical practice,
mm-hmm.
not just related to ceremonial magic or the Kabbalah or rune magic, but also what is sometimes termed low magic, like hoodoo and folk magic. I don't know why it's termed low magic, because it's really, really effective. And folklore, and astrology, and divination. I mean, I look at occultist as a broad term. I'm interested not just in the actual practice, but in the history and the theory behind the practice. So for me, occultist kind of combines all of that together.
Okay.
That's a hard question.
Well, that's what we're here for. We're here to answer We're here to answer those hard questions. And
for me, occultist is a more overarching term. I mean, I am a magician because I practice the art of utilizing my will to call up energy and channel it into very practical applications.
Mm. Well, that's
there's a science and an art that I've studied, but that's not all that I am. I mean, I do other things as well, and that's why I like the term occultist. It's more far-reaching.
Yes, and that's why I wanted to bring that up, because, you know, when a lot of people hear, you know, occultists, you know, they start thinking of, you know, crazy things. They start thinking of devil worshippers and, you know, sacrificial deals that are going on. And that's why I wanted you to just kind of clarify a little bit about what that is.
The word comes from the Latin and simply means things that are secret. Things that are not commonly spoken about in public.
Okay. Now, you also refer to yourself as a magician.
Yes.
Now, you're not, when you refer to yourself like that, are you referring to yourself in the typical sense of what most people would think a magician is, or are we talking a different kind of magic here?
I practice a number of different forms of magic. I look at it as the art and science of using one's will to affect the natural world.
Can you give us an example of, like, just something that would be considered magic that you do?
Well, I mean, I suppose you could look at heavy shielding work as magic. Mm-hmm. Let me think of an example here. Say I were going for a promotion at work, and I was neck and neck with a couple of people, and we were all equally qualified. I might well do a luck working to ensure that I got that job. Or if someone was slandering me in the community, or slandering a friend of mine, which has happened, I might well do a working to ensure that they were suddenly too occupied to worry about slandering my colleagues.
Gotcha.
I might do a binding to ensure that they their words were ineffectual, or that suddenly too much was coming up in their life, good or bad. I mean, I'd probably aim for good. But too much was coming up in their life for them to have the time or the energy to worry about tearing down one of my colleagues. I would raise up energy, and I would look at the threads of fate, and I would throw it out there like a focused arrow. And based on my skill and my focus and years of experience and practice, I can pretty much estimate where it's going to hit and how effective it's going to be.
Yeah, so when you
that's magic.
So when you refer to your magic, it's you're referring to just using like natural abilities in order to like affect a change in something that you want to happen.
The natural ability is the awareness to sense energy, mm-hmm. or see it. That is not magic. That makes the practice of magic easier. Magic is having honed one's will as a tool, so that through those natural gifts and by use of that tool, you can pull up energy and direct it. Magic, it takes training and discipline and practice. That's why I don't want to say that it's a natural gift. Yes, one has to have some sensitivity, ideally, to energy in some way, shape, or form, whether you see it or feel it or sense it. But that in itself is not magic. That's just you have an inborn gift. Magic is doing something with what you're sensing and learning how to do it precisely so that you disturb things as little as possible, but you get the job done.
All right, I've got one more thing I want to talk to you about and kind of mm-hmm. explain to everyone who's listening a little bit before we get into the heavy stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And that is, you mentioned that you're a diviner.
Yes.
Okay, would you care to explain that just a little bit to us?
I read the threads of fate, of possibility and potentiality with tarot cards or with runes. It's a simple matter. I don't say foretelling the future. I read potential. I read the most likely possibility. I read the fluctuations of fate.
Exactly. And a diviner is, you know, that is a faith-based type of study, is it not?
Not necessarily. I divine because I have the gift of precognition. Some people do practice it, particularly with the runes, as an extension of their faith. For me, it's not the case. I try to keep my occult work and my faith very separate. But some people do practice it as an extension of their faith. It doesn't need to be. Like, tarot is completely neutral that way, at least as I've found mm-hmm. it. The runes, yes, they tend to be very strongly associated with Norse polytheism or heathenry or Alcetru. So there can be a faith component, but not with tarot or some of the other systems that practice.
Okay, on that note, we're going to jump away here for our first break of the evening. Everyone
sure.
tuning in, please stay tuned. We will be back here in just a few moments.
Para X Radio invites you to listen to Ghost Chatter with your host, Jimmy Morris, every Wednesday at 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time at www.para-x.com.
Hello, my name is Roy Benales, voiceover talent. When someone asks what I do for a living, there's always a slightly confused look on their face when I say voiceover. To tell them so they can understand, I give them examples of when voiceover comes into their daily lives, the main one being radio imaging. You know, when you listen to the radio and you hear the name of the station between songs? Well, that's me, the voice you hear. And it's more than just radio. How about when you call your credit card company and hear,
"Thank you for calling. Your estimated wait time is 4 minutes."
That's also me. Everything you can imagine, from TV commercials, audiobooks, training videos, websites, even airport announcements. Anywhere one person is giving information for the benefit of another, I provide the voice for companies to express themselves to the masses, which in turn increase sales. I'm affordable, friendly, and I offer incredibly quick turnaround times. So if you're interested to find out how my voice can help your business, give me a call. 601-273-6679. Thanks for listening and have a great day.
Your source for everything paranormal.
Hi, Jimmy. This is Barney, and I just wanted to tell you I love you. Have a great day. And I'm a ghost chatter chick. Super dee duper, boys and girls.
Take your stinking paws off me, you damn dirty ape.
Whether you're listening at home, at work, or anywhere, thanks for making Para-X part of your day. Your source for everything paranormal, Para-X.
Now we return to the ghost chatter.
Hello, everyone. Welcome back to Ghost Chatter here on the Para-X Radio Network. We're here tonight with our special guest, Sophie Reiser. Welcome back, Sophie.
Hi, I'm glad to be back.
All right, before the break, for those of you who are just tuning in, we were talking just a little bit about Sophie and what her experiences is and what her abilities are that she practices. Let's talk a little bit about the book that you just wrote, which is called Spiritual Protection. Do you want to tell us a little bit about kind of what this book is about? Let's start out there.
This is the book I wish I'd had when I was first starting out. Essentially, it gives all of the basic fundamental. This gives everything that my teachers kept me doing for the first 2 years of my training. It's all the basic fundamental exercises like grounding, centering, shielding, warding, cleansings, various ways to keep yourself energetically clean. It's all the things that, whether you want to become an energy worker or a magician or simply delve deeply into devotional practice or simply manage stress, here are the techniques that can do it. I mean, the foundation is the same. Once you get that foundation, you can branch off into a lot of different areas. But I was getting a lot of clients, an awful lot of people coming to me who were having problems because they had no basics. And one woman said, I don't want a shield. I want to be open to the universe. I said, the universe will crush you like an empty beer can. Sit down and ground. I mean, there's no comprehension of why these exercises are necessary, that you have to have a personal boundary because you can be in control of your gifts and your talents. This isn't something that you're at the mercy of. And I was finding too many people coming to me who felt that they were simply at the mercy of this thing that they could not control. And all they needed was a little solid training. Mm-hmm. You know, somebody to say, well, you do this, 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 and this, and keep doing it.
No.
And things will get better. And it really isn't that difficult. But I didn't have a book that I could give them. I mean, there were a couple of useful texts out there, but so much of what I had been taught, I wanted it in one place so I could pick up the book, hand it to my client or my student, and say, I want you to read through chapter 56 and practice those exercises, and we're going to talk about it next time we meet. They had it concrete, written down. They could refer to it. So I got tired of looking for something and wrote my own book.
Now, you go around and you speak at different engagements, correct?
I'm very choosy about where I speak because I'm a fairly private person, but yes, I will.
Okay. When you're speaking, what is, if there was one question that you get asked more than anything, what do you think that would be whenever you are doing these type of conventions and talks?
I think I'm going crazy because I'm seeing things, or I'm seeing energy, or I'm feeling things. What do I do?
Okay. That is a very good one. Now, let me ask you something. What got you started in this? Was there any incident that happened? Was it something in your childhood? Does it go that far back?
No, I had a couple of very strong gifts. I'm very strong at sensing other people's emotions, and I would often find it difficult because I would be reading them, not knowing where I was getting the information and being overwhelmed by what I was sensing. And then there was the precog. I mean, I needed to learn this stuff myself so that I could function adequately in the world at large.
Mm-hmm.
I'm a big believer, be it as a psychic or as a magician, that we need to be functional. We need to be able to live healthy lives, healthy, satisfying lives, whatever that is to the individual person. And I couldn't do that the way I was when I was a teenager. So, you know, I was very, very lucky. I found a good teacher very early. But those early years were really difficult.
For me, I
got into this because I had to.
I imagine. So you basically, from, you know, when you were growing up younger, you were empathic.
Very much.
Okay. I can relate to that very well. And it's very, a lot of people don't realize, you know, who are empathic, what's going on, because it's not something that stands out as much as, let's say, if you were a medium and, mm-hmm. you know, you were seeing ghosts and goblins and spirits and things like
exactly.
that around that no one else is seeing. You know, an empath, you're feeling things that are going in, and sometimes they can be very strong feelings.
And the thing is that most people, if they don't have training, a lot of empaths don't realize that what's overwhelming them is coming in from outside.
Exactly.
The biggest two points that I learned that changed my life, other than learning how to shield, was that, A, most people don't know what they're feeling. That's okay, because the empath in your midst knows exactly what you're feeling and can tell you. Most people aren't aware of what they're feeling, and it can seem very invasive to them if the empath is responding to them based on what is being read rather than what is being externally shown in that person, if that makes sense. That was huge for me. But the other thing is you need to know where you are, where you begin and end, and where your emotions begin and end. And you need to have self-mastery over that, and that's what grounding and centering teaches.
Exactly.
Because if you can't figure out who you are and where you begin and end, you can't determine what's you and what's coming in from outside.
Yes.
And when you're really strong with one of these gifts, it can be emotionally very devastating.
Yes. See, now, you know, a lot of people, you know, have just a touch of empathic ability, you know, that they never even realize because it's very subtle. And it's the same kind of stuff, and I'm trying to say this for people out there who are listening that aren't aware of what this is, but to try, in my terms, to try to relay that across, you know, I try to say something like, you know, people that have walked into, let's say, a room where mm-hmm. there's people in there, and the moment you walk in that room, you know, you feel, like, heaviness in the air. Like, you
mm-hmm.
feel, you know, turmoil, tension, and you almost know right away that something is going on. You know, you walked in on something and there's something not right in the air. Well, you know, for a very strong empath, you know, you take that and you multiply that about 20 or 30 times, and that's what an empath who doesn't know how to block or shield that out will walk into a room and just get bombarded with it.
It's like a physical assault. I am a very private person, because even now, knowing how to ground, center, and shield, and being very experienced and fairly well skilled, I still, those early years patterned me to seek solitude. I still, going into a room full of people, if I am unshielded, is a physical assault.
Now, for those people out there who want to know or may be empathic themselves and maybe having problems with this thing, what is the best thing that you recommend when it comes to shielding?
First, learn to ground and center, because you can't shield until you know, as I said, where your own emotions begin and end. You know, it takes a great deal of self-knowledge to learn to deal with empathy effectively. Because all of those emotions that are coming in, can have a very detrimental effect on your own emotional state, and you can very easily get into a vicious circle. So I would say first ground and center. And then I give dozens of shielding techniques in my book, and it's a very personal thing depending on, I mean, the way, if you're a teacher, you're going to shield differently than if you're a secretary. I mean, it depends on how much interaction you need, how you need to present yourself. Shielding is something that is a flexible tool that you make work for you. So I wouldn't just give one shield. I'd want to talk to the person and find out what they need on a daily basis, how much contact they have to be having with others, what their personality is. I mean, some shields are more out there than others. You know, it's a very personal thing. But I'd say ground and center, and at the very, very least, bring up a basic bubble shield. The best way that I have ever found to shield empathy is also one that I simply won't do because it cuts off my primary means of communication with the world. You can actually, I visualize the gifts, the various psychic gifts, as channels in the brain, in the mind. If you can visualize yourself cupping and covering that channel and just closing it off.
Exactly.
But it's so uncomfortable, and it's all of a sudden like you've been blinded or rendered deaf. I mean, I did it once during my training because you need to learn. And it was horrible. It was very effective. But suddenly I had no interpersonal skills. And I realized then that because I had had empathy since I was a child, my whole way of interacting with the world, I use my empathy.
Exactly.
Very strongly to navigate human relations. So for me, that's not an option.
Yeah.
And also in my mundane work, the empathy is very useful. But it is an option for some people.
Now, let me ask you a question. I, for one, have some empathic abilities. And I've had them since I was young. As young as I can remember, actually.
Mm-hmm.
I have came across a very, very few people in my lifetime that I don't know if you would call them... I've never experienced it enough to really think about seeing if there was a term for it, but I believe I'm probably talking to a person that would probably know. Have you ever ran across people that you just got nothing from? It was like they were just like cold as stone. That you're
I
so
have,
used.
And I think that sometimes you might be encountering people who have incredibly good shields.
Okay.
And there's also, I call them nulls. If I can't read something in a person and there's no, and we're not dealing with a sociopath.
Okay.
I call them nulls. I mean, there are people out there, and I think that they are rare, but who simply cannot be read. Oh. They're very disturbing to be around.
They are. They are.
They
very
may be
disturbing.
Perfectly nice and people, but they're very disturbing to be around for me.
I think I've came across two in my lifetime, but it's just nothing. You can't get a single thing from them. It's just like you were standing in a room with no one. And
three things are going on. Either they're very heavily shielded, they have a personality disorder, where their emotions are absent, or they're nulls.
Yes.
Two of the three are not bad.
Okay.
That's a little uncomfortable for us.
I am inheriting the term nulls from you, because that actually sounds pretty good for what...
I got it from one of my teachers. I can't take credit for making it up, but it kind of is self-explanatory, right?
I do believe so. It definitely fits the term of what it is.
What I can't figure out is whether that is a specific gift or whether it's just a fluke of nature. Maybe that's a specific psychic gift. I don't know, but I haven't run into too many of them.
I haven't either, and hopefully I don't, because like you said, you know, when you run into something, you don't realize how much a part of your inner social skills that
mm-hmm.
becomes. You kind of rely on it, and you don't realize it, and then, you know, if you ever get to a point to where, you know, you try to disassociate yourself with, you know, with that ability, you know, all of a sudden you don't know what to do because you relied on knowing kind of what that person was feeling when you walked in the room?
In my mundane work, I've occasionally had to work with people who were brain injured or with people who have autism. And it's very difficult because the empathy is completely useless. Their brains are wired differently. The empathy is completely useless. And it's been a really interesting experience for me. It's like, wow.
Yeah, it is. I mean, it is really, really weird. And I'm sure there's other people out there who've experienced something like that. And maybe they didn't know what it was either. But I'm very glad that, you know, we got the chance to talk about that. And we're going to jump away again for another quick break. Everyone, please stay tuned. We will be back in a few moments.
Watch that dial. Ghost Chatter will return in a few moments.
Through with watching ghost shows on my TV station. See them fake evidence on their investigations. The shows never turn out quite the way I want them to be.
Tell me what you want.
I want an investigator who won't run away and still has my respect at the end of the day. And an IR picture that looks like something to me.
Tell me what you need.
I need an internet credit card that's got no limit and a big black van with an office in it. Everyone in the chat room screams when they know it's me.
Been there, done that.
I want a room full of cameras and laptops too. Want my videos to be huge on YouTube. Somewhere between Daps and Gax is fine with me.
How you gonna do it?
I'm gonna trade this life for Paraglam fame. Keep my dignity, won't disgrace my name. Cause we all just wanna be big Para stars. Living in haunted houses, going to haunted bars. The ghosts come messy and the equipment ain't cheap. We all stay tired, we just don't sleep. And we'll hang out in the Parax chair, watching Dave and Demi with those big gold hats. Every ghost tunnel's gonna wind up there. Every ghost chatter chick with the bleached blonde hair. And hey, yeah, I wanna be a Para star. Hey, I wanna be a Para star. I wanna be great like Hans without the hassle. Take a trip overseas to ghost hunt some castles. Sign a couple of autographs so I can get in Waverly Hills for free.
I'll take the third floor.
I'm gonna dress myself in Para fashions. Get a front door key to the Winchester Mansion. Gonna start a great team so they can ghost hunt with me.
So how you gonna do it?
I'm gonna trade this life for Para glam fame. Keep my dignity, won't disgrace my name. Cause we all just wanna be big Para stars. Living in haunted houses, going to haunted bars. The ghosts come busy and the equipment ain't cheap. We all stay tired, we just won't sleep. And we'll hang out in the barracks chat, watching Dave and Jimmy with those big gold hats. Every ghost hunter's gonna wind up there. Every ghost chatter chick with their bleached blonde hair. And we'll sit down in the darkest rooms with the latest recordings and today's cartoons. We'll capture every ghost within 1,000 miles. Everybody's got a fever now, just on speed dial. Well, hey, hey, I wanna be a Para star. I'm gonna prove there's ghosts using thermal sensors. Gonna pop no dose from a Pez dispenser. I get washed up, investigators working on my cases, and TV crews follow me to cool haunted places. Cause we all just wanna be big Para stars. Living in haunted houses, going to haunted bars. The ghosts come easy and the equipment ain't cheap. We all stay tired, we just don't sleep. And we'll hang out in the barracks chat, watching Dave and Jimmy with those big gold hats. Every ghost on us gonna wind up there. Every ghost chatter chip tossing their bleached blonde hair. And we'll sit down in the darkest rooms with the latest recorders and today's K2s. We'll capture every ghost within 1,000 miles. Everybody's got a demon now, just on speed.
to be a para star.
Now we return to the Ghost Chatter.
Hello everyone, this is Jimmy with Ghost Chatter. We are back from our break and we're here with our special guest tonight, Sophie Reiser. Welcome back, Sophie.
Hi, thank you.
Okay, let's talk a little bit more about your book. Let's get people familiar with everything that's in this book that they would want to go and grab this. Now, we know, you know, we've talked a little bit about some of the things that are in there. If you had to summarize cover to cover, how would you do it for your book?
This book starts out by presenting the fundamentals: grounding, centering, warding, cleansing, and shielding. It talks about the individual psychic gifts, as many as I knew of, and the pros and cons and problems and blessings of having each one, and certain exercises, how to train them up. It talks about what magic is and how that differs from generic energy work, and various laws of magic, and how to keep yourself energetically clean. I look at all the common occult tools, your knife, your wand, your cup, your pentacle. And I look at them from the perspective of a ceremonial magician. You may never need to use them, but it's always good to know what they are and how they can be used. Mm-hmm. I talk about ways to manage your space, and ways to ensure that you stay grounded and healthy and focused for your daily life. And I also give a lot of warnings toward the end about what to watch out for when you're looking for a teacher or a group.
Now, when you talk about cleansing, can you explain that a little bit more to us?
Well, I mean, just as you take a bath every day or a shower every day, we hope, to keep yourself physically clean, it's good to do regular cleansings to keep yourself energetically clean. Whether you are psychic or not, whether you work magic or not, or energy work, science tells us that everything is energy in motion. That means that emotions are energy, and we have to interact with people every day. People in varying degrees of annoyance, irritation, depression, you know, maybe even joy or anxiety, dozens of different emotions, and we can pick that up. I think that we absorb the emotions of those around us, and this translates into stress and tension. We take on to ourselves those things that are not ours to hold, and I think it's important just to cleanse yourself of that. I mean, the best shielded person can pick up psychic or emotional gunk just by moving throughout their day.
Exactly.
So it's good to recognize that, and just like you'd wash your face, you want to wash that stuff off.
Yeah, and, you know, the reason why, you know, empaths pick up on stuff like that is because, you know, energy, you know, you're picking up energy, and energy is, you know, it could be happy energy, it could be sad energy, and when you pick that up, you know, that energy is in the air. And, you know, I try to tell everyone, you know, whenever we get cases and we're doing paranormal investigations, you know, so many times you get the same stories about things that are happening. You know, everything was fine, and then after a little bit of time, this started happening, and then it progressed, and it progressed, and it progressed, you know. And almost all of those cases, when you go back and you look, you know, there's some similarities in all of them.
And if they would have been doing their hygiene, if they would have been cleaning themselves, cleansing themselves, it wouldn't have built up.
Exactly.
And become a problem.
You know, I always tell people, you know, just basic stuff, you know, and again, this isn't so much as personal cleansing as it is, you know, cleansing the area that, mm-hmm. you know, you're living in. You know, that I always tell them, you know, don't sit with all of your windows and doors and curtains drawn 24/7. You know, open up your windows, open up your curtains, you know, let energy that's in your house, you know, let any negative energy that may be in there out. Don't let it build up right there
and
in
clean your
house
living space. Physically, clutter collects negative energy. First thing I tell people, physically clean your house, and then we'll talk about all of the energetic techniques you can apply. I knew a woman once. She was the mother of one of my teachers. Mm-hmm. She was very gifted psychically. She never shielded her house. She didn't have to because she cleaned 4 times a day. This was her meditation. It was her talent. You could eat off her floor. Negative energy could not live in her house. I mean, she created an environment that was just not conducive to negative or stagnant energy.
Exactly.
Me, I think it's better to clean your house and shield. You know, I'm not going to be cleaning 4 times a day, but that is, you know, it, you want to make an environment that is simply not conducive for negative energy or stagnant energy to cling to. And that's with your person and with your space. And that right there goes a long way to keeping everything healthy and balanced.
Exactly. I agree.
And I'm a lazy occultist. If I can do something by simply taking preventive measures to ensure that I stay healthy and don't have to deal with a lot of garbage, I will. I believe in expanding, spending the least amount of energy to get the best results.
Now, we had a few questions that came in from out in the chat room. The only thing is that some of these, I think these people may have came in a little late because we really kind of covered a lot of this. But just to go back real quick, one of the questions was, you know, do you consider your abilities a gift or do you consider them an achieved talent?
It's an inborn genetic trait, just like having blue eyes or brown hair, that I have taken and worked with discipline and practice up to the level of something that I can actively control and use.
Now, this other question I want to get out here, too, even though we've really talked about it. We kind of touched on it just a little bit, but they want to know, what is it that you consider to be rune magic?
There are better people to ask than I about the runes. The runes, as I was taught them by my teacher, are a family of spirits. And they can be used for divination, or they can be used for actively affecting one's luck and fate. They're very primal energies, but the energy is somewhat sentient.
Yes, I've had people who, because the rune magic deal is something that isn't, I'm not real familiar. I haven't really studied a lot on that, and it's kind of one of those things that a lot of people who ask about it and talk about it think it's a practice when it's really not a practice per se. You know, it is.
I wouldn't call it a practice. Yeah, it's a system of magic.
Yes.
I mean, practice to me involves something like Buddhist meditation or doing rituals every morning I wouldn't call it a practice. It's a system of magic that it involves working with this family of spirits to get things done. One of my primary teachers was a rune master, so I'm familiar with them, and I do use them myself. But I don't like the word practice for it. They're allies.
All right. Before we cut loose here tonight, I want to give you a chance, Sophie, to tell everyone a little bit about where they can obtain your book. And for anyone that is tuning in late, you know, I kind of asked Sophie a question, you know, in the beginning of our interview here, of if there was one thing, you know, that, you know, she, you know, would look back on about her book. And she said that, you know, she wished she'd have had this book when she started. And, you know, that kind of stuck in my mind. And that's something that I think that should be reiterated to everyone listening who is interested in this field or feel they have any of these gifts that they need more information on. Because, you know, this book is what you could have really used 20 years ago.
Yeah, this is the book I wish I'd had when I was a teenager or when I was a young adult. And the other thing I'd like to emphasize is that with psychic work and with magic and with energy work, you need to be living a useful life. These things are tools that can enhance your life. They shouldn't make it worse. you can absolutely learn to control this and make it work for you. So
where can they go to get this book, Spiritual Protection?
Well, you can definitely get it at Amazon.com, and you can buy it at the publisher's website. It's been published through New Page Books. I haven't checked for myself, but I'm sure you can probably find it in your local Borders or Barnes & Noble as well.
All right, and we will be putting up a link on the Ghost Chatter Radio site after the show. We will find a place to where they can purchase the book. So if you go over to www.ghostchatterradio.com, we will put a link on there to where you can find Sophie's book. I mean, it sounds like it's going to be a real, real blessing to anyone, especially if you're dealing with any of this activity that's going on with you. If you have this stuff, this empathic stuff going on.
Even if you just want to learn how to manage stress, I mean.
That's true. And it's not like that we don't have a lot of that going on here.
Exactly.
Well, Sophie, I really, really appreciate you taking the time to be on the show tonight.
It has been a pleasure.
We're coming to the end here, but it was really, really great to have you on. You can pretty much guarantee that I will be purchasing this book. I think it's
good.
I think it's a great deal of information that it can be really helpful to people, especially to people who are experiencing this stuff.
I hope so. I mean, that's why I wrote it.
All right. Well, thank you again for coming on, and look forward to talking to you again here really soon.
Thank you. Have a great night.
You too. Good night, Sophie. All right, everyone. That was Sophie Reiser. She is the author of Spiritual Protection. Having a tongue twister here tonight. So everyone, we're going to jump away for a quick break. Then we've got a few quick announcements. So stay tuned. We will be back here in just a few moments, guys. All right.
listening at home, at work, or anywhere. Thanks for making Para-X part of your day. Your source for everything paranormal. Para-X.
Ghost Chatter Radio is always looking for new paranormal people to interview. If you're an author, medium, paracelebrity, or just someone with a cool ghost story you would like to share, contact us today at 325-200-4512 or email guests at ghostchatterradio.com.
Now we return to the Ghost Chatter.
Hello everyone, this is Jimmy with Ghost Chatter. We are back from our break and we are at the end of the show. We've got a few announcements we wanted to make tonight. First, I want to thank Sophie Reiser again for being here with us tonight. And remember, the name of her book is Spiritual Protection. And I think it's a great book. From everything that I've seen of it, it's got great information that would be helpful for anyone, especially if you're a paranormal investigator, especially if you're dealing with any type of issues in regards to mediumship or being empathic in any way. I think this would be a great, great investment for any of you, so please be sure to check that out. I know it is available on Amazon.com. Go over there and just look up Spiritual Protection. Again, there will be a link to it. Also want to remind everyone that if you missed any part of this show or any of the other shows, such as the four episodes we did on Paranormal 101, these will be available for podcast at www.ghostchatter.podomatic.com. Now, here in the near future, we may be switching that Podomatic site over to a different hosting service. I'm hoping there won't be too much interruption there. I'm going to try to link everything from the Ghost Chatter radio site so that no one misses out. For those of you who are subscribing through iTunes, I'm not sure right now. I'm waiting for an answer back on how that will affect when that transfers over to the new hosting service. So I don't know if it means you will have to resubscribe once it's at the new location with the new RSS feeds. But we'll keep everybody apprised on that so that you know. Also, for any host of radio shows here on Para-X Radio, I will be reinstituting the host meetings that we used to have here on Para-X in regards to all the show hosts and moderators. So for all of you guys, please be sure to keep checking your emails for the time and dates that we're going to reinstitute that. Everything should be coming out here pretty quick, I'd say within the next week, so just keep your eye out on that. Also, Bishop Long is not going to be here tonight, so we'll have some encore shows playing here for a little while, but please be sure to stick around because from 9 to 11 tonight, we have Mama Lisa Cares who will be on live. Also, had a message from John and Andrea Jameson at Shock. Just wanted to let everyone know that, you know, they do miss everyone. Unfortunately, they canceled their show for a little while due to a new pregnancy. And they are expecting another child, and they wanted to devote more time to that, which is completely understandable. And they just wanted to tell everyone that, you know, they were thinking of them, and they missed them. Next week on Ghost Chatter, we've got a special guest coming in. Now, I don't want to mention the name of this person yet because there is a possibility they may get moved to the following week, and it was a higher profile guest. So once I get that confirmed, I will be putting it out on some audios that we'll be playing throughout the Para-X radio website. Guys, I want to thank everyone again for taking the time to be here. Also want to thank everyone who joined us in the chat room. A lot of great people out there and a lot of great friends. You know, I like to especially extend a big thank you to Cece, the ceiling cat out there. Not only is she a great friend and supporter of Ghost Chatter, you know, she started and runs our Ghost Chatter Chick site, our fan site, and she does just an awesome job, and I can never ever say enough good stuff about Cece. Also, Mama Lisa out there is a great friend. And again, her show is on tonight, 9 to 11, so please be sure to stay there for that. You know, Mike and Tina are out there. Liz, who is one of my case managers, absolutely great, great person. And I want to say hi to Lena, too, if she's listening there with Liz. You know, Swampy's a good friend of mine. Crystal, I call her Crystal Light. Glad she was in here tonight. TK, who's my research manager and one of my lead investigators for my Dallas chapter. Nyla, Chris Kronk, as I call him. And Reverend Tim, who, Reverend Mike, who is in here tonight. I'm glad he's in here. You know, we've been friends for a while and looking forward to getting together. And also, TK is getting married here in the next couple of weeks. So we're all looking forward to go to Galveston and hook up with him down there and watch him tie the knot. And that's something that we're all kind of looking forward to. And to all my guys who are tuning in tonight, both in the chat room and out on the airwaves, don't forget, we have our meeting tonight, 8:15, after the show. So please be sure to be there if you can. Everyone else, thank you again for tuning in. We will catch all of you guys here next week on Ghost Chatter.
The gateway between normal and paranormal close, and Ghost Chatter begins to fade away. But when the will of the living and the departed is strong enough to break through the barriers, Ghost Chatter will be heard once again. Your host, Jimmy Morris, welcomes you back next week when Ghost Chatter returns on the Para-X Radio Network.
This has been a production of the Para-X Radio Network.
This podcast is part of the MyPodcast.com network. Go online right now and get your very own 100% free podcast, MyPodcast.com.